shake of the head. So if I, should I try that?
Keep talking.
Okay, I'll just keep talking. All right. No, great to come and, that's better, isn't it? Great to come and share with you today. Thanks to Mandy and the team for leading us. That was fantastic. Brilliant songs, and just really enjoyed worshipping with you this morning. As was mentioned, my name is Craig. I've been here a couple of times before, so it's lovely to come and share with you. I worked with Dan in Indonesia to give you a bit of context so I can tell you all the secrets about Dan. There's no secrets about Di. Di, there's no secrets. Dan's got a few, though, so I, you know, for a small fee, I can reveal a few things to you if you like. No, it's all good. So Dan was my boss in Indonesia. Is that, that's true, isn't it, Dan? You were my boss. And did a fantastic job. Dan, I've always said, if anyone's asked me about Dan in terms of what he does, he's prolific in terms of what he did. He would spend all week teaching biblical studies classes, and then on a Sunday would preach at church, and always fantastic. So that's brilliant. And Di doing some amazing things in international development, which is brilliant. That's really exciting to see the grain going out and all of that sort of stuff. It's absolutely fantastic. Great to also just acknowledge Kathy and Jesse, who I work with down at Westcare. Why don't we give them a round of applause, because they have to put up with me every week or so, and Jesse's living on site, doing an amazing job there, and we'll talk a bit more about that as we go along. Kathy's really... Kathy's an evangelist. She loves people, and we're really connecting a lot with international students and hoping to really bring God's love and connection to them. And good to see Brian. I haven't seen Brian for a little while, so good to chat to you this morning as well, Brian, and everyone else. Thank you very much. All right, now I'm not sure if my PowerPoint is on, but we'll check that. Do I need to do anything here, Kathy? Oh, here we go. So if I go like that, like advance it. I'm having, oh, maybe I'm not on. Having trouble with the technology this morning, aren't I? Oh, that's it. Okay, excellent. All right, so today we're invited to do some thinking around the question, what does it mean to be a true person or to be true people? What does that actually mean? It's a great question to ask, isn't it? What does it mean to be fully human? To fully be who God has called us to be. And so that's what we're talking about together this morning as part of your True series. And I thought it would be interesting to ask a bit of a question that I'll give you a few moments to talk to the people next to you about, and that you might have seen it on the next slide. This was a question that... it's all happening with the technology today. That's all right. I'll advance it, Kathy. That's fine. But this is the next slide here. So here's the question. And this was a question that I was involved with at a school recently. And I thought it was a great question. I was delivering a seminar in concert with somebody else at the school in partnership. And they asked this question. And I thought, what a great question. I'm going to steal that and also just acknowledge him. His name is Paul from Emmanuel College, if you need to know. It's his question. Can you be truly human alone? Can you be truly human alone? What do you think? Why don't you turn to the person next to you, have a quick chat. Can you be truly human alone? Now we might, Brian, I'm going to come over and talk to you, Brian. I'll turn the microphone off. What do you think, Brian? All right. Can you be truly human alone? Can we be true people alone? Now, hopefully it's getting you thinking. Dan said that Dan always invites me for cafe church, which is good because I like the interaction and that works out really well. But I believe that there are some hints to this question in the first reading that we had today, which are then fleshed out a bit more in the second reading from Genesis. In the first reading, we read, let us make mankind in our own image. Why is God referred to as us and our in that reading? It's interesting, isn't it? Some commentators suggest, or some, you know, particularly Jewish commentators say, well, God was talking about himself and the angels. Let us make mankind in our image. But we're not made in the image of angels, are we? We're not made in the image of angels. What do you think? Why us an hour? Why us an hour? Well, most Christian theologians agree that the writer, Moses, was referring to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our own image. So God from all time, he's existed for all time, has been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in what we call a perichoretic dance of intimacy, unity, and community. That's what God is like. God is three in one. He's so close. There's such a close relationship that we say there's one true God, but we have a community there. That's fantastic, isn't it? So it begs the question, if we have a singular person, can they be truly in the image of God? Now, of course, they have inherent value and all of those sort of things. They're in the image of God in that sense. But can they really be truly human by themselves? It's an interesting question, isn't it? And so we see this fleshed out more in the second reading, where the Lord God says it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Oh, this is... there we go. Oh, sorry. There we go. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Then God makes all the animals. And yes, there's a connection, but none of them are just right. None of them allow the man to be fully human. Yes, he's connecting with the animals. There's a connection with creation. And, you know, sometimes we prefer animals to people, don't we? I don't know. Are you one of these people that the more you learn about people, the more you like your pets or your dogs? Now, you can be honest here. It's a safe space. So there is a connection. There's a God-given connection between us and creation, including animals. And we should enjoy that. We should really kind of find fulfillment in that. But we're not going to find that true fulfillment, are we? And God tells us this in Genesis. But even those people who say this, even people who say what Mark Twain's saying here, the more I learn about people, the more I like my dog, we still find those people pursuing relationships with other people because that's what we're designed for. But Adam didn't find a helper who was right for him. So the Lord God caused him to fall into a deep sleep, as we heard beautifully before. And while the man was sleeping, the Lord God took one of the man's ribs. Then the Lord closed the opening on the man's side, and the Lord made a woman. And we heard that before. And so that's why a man leaves his father and mother, we read, and is joined to his wife. The two of them become one. And we're seeing a picture of being in the image of God, the image of the triune God who's in community in and of himself, perfect love, perfect community. And so that first marriage is an example of the pinnacle of all human relationships and the start of all human relationships. It's the foundation. It's commitment, a covenant between a man and a woman. Now, not only does it give us a theology of marriage, but it gives us a picture of a wider dynamic that we are created, we are wired for human relationships. That's what it means to be in the image of God. And aside from our relationship with God, relationships with others are our most important relationships. I realized this before I was married. I was a very stoic person in my 20s. I thought I could do everything by myself. But then the ups and downs of life started to beat me around and, you know, sin, the world and the devil and all of those kind of things. And I had this guy who was about 7 years older than me, and he kept coming around and he kept on kind of supporting me, and he became my mentor. And every Sunday night after church, he would come around and we would share, and I would share openly and authentically, and I would grow. And I found myself really feeling a sense of joy and fulfillment in this connection, this support, which I thought that was a sign of weakness, but actually was a sign of being human and being who God had created me to be. And he also was studying theology at the time, so he explained to me this dynamic of the Trinity, and it was like a light bulb went on. It was like a revelation. I thought, so this is actually what I'm not designed to go it alone in some sort of stoicism. I'm actually designed to be interdependent with other people. That was interesting. And I was becoming more human. Has anyone heard of this term before? Ubuntu. Have you heard of that term? It's a West African term, and it's, you know, there's different ways of translating it, I am because we are, but the one I like is that we are irreducibly intertwined. You see, the African community, at its best, have really understood this in the fact that we are irreducibly intertwined, in the sense that we almost don't exist unless we're in community, that we're in relationship with each other. And I think that's a good thing for us in our Western civilization to have a think about. Have a think about what that actually means. Because I think in West Africa, I think they understand that a bit more easily than us. A bit more easily than us. So what do you think? What do you think, Ubuntu? Which one best describes your thoughts? A, being truly human means being deeply connected to some other humans and connected to all humans? Or B, this is sentimental and irrelevant to my reality? Which one of those best describes your thoughts? Why don't you turn to the people around you and be brave, be honest, tell them A or B, which one best describes your thoughts? Don't just say the right answer, that's okay. All right, well, we'll bring it back. These are just tasters of the type of conversations that you can have perhaps in the community. And, you know, I know Dan and others here would want to create a safe place where you can explore ideas and be authentic and wrestle with these kind of things. But Ubuntu, irreducibly intertwined. Once someone is born into this world as someone created in the image of God, they are connected and related to us in a way that we can't deny. If we do try to deny it, are we being truly human? And that's why it's beautiful to see the prayers this morning for people in Turkey or Syria. Why are we as a Christian community so worried about people in Turkey and Syria? Why are we worried about the starving child in Africa? Why are we worried about the person experiencing homelessness in Whitmore Square? Because that's what it means to be truly human, to be in the image of God. We're obviously closely connected to some people, but I would argue, being in the image of God, that we are somehow, through God, connected to all humanity. So we're concerned about the starving child in Africa, the person experiencing homelessness, as well as the King of England. So this is all very nice. This is all very beautiful to think about, but we've got a problem, haven't we? You know, God created things good. God said his creation was good. All the animals, he said, were good. The whole world was good. When he created us, he said, very good. That's encouraging, I think. But then our key relationship with God, what did we do? We decided that we wanted to be God. The first sin of pride. We decided that we wanted to become like God and to be the boss of our own lives, if you like. And of course, we've got the fall. And now our relationships are broken. In a moment, I'll show you a diagram which comes from a book called When Helping Hurts. And it talks about the key relationships in our lives. Now, first and foremost is our relationship with God. That is the most important relationship. That's broken at the fall. And then we have the relationship with ourselves. How do we view ourselves? Do we view ourselves in the correct way that God wants us to view ourselves? That's an important relationship, our relationship with ourselves. Sometimes we don't think about that. And then we've got our relationship with others. How do we relate to others? Because we're designed to connect with others. To be truly human, I'm arguing, means to be deeply connected to others. And then we've got our relationship with the whole of creation. Now, sometimes as evangelicals, which that would be the tradition, I'm sure, of this church, from what I know, sometimes as evangelicals, we kind of get a bit nervous at this because it sounds a little bit liberal. But God has made a creation, and we're designed to have a relationship with the environment, in a sense that the environment, we serve the environment, we steward the environment, and then the environment serves us. And so that relationship has also been broken at the fall. So we've got a relationship with God, which has been broken. We've got a relationship with ourself, which has been broken. We don't see ourselves as we should. We either see ourselves as more than what we are or less than what we are, often. Our relationship with others has been marred or broken. and our relationship with the environment, look around, has certainly been marred as well. Because we've all sinned against God and our relationships are broken. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned against God and fallen short of his glory. That's the basis of all of our poverty and brokenness. That's the fall. And all of our relationships have been marred with the fall. So there's that diagram. This is from a book called When Helping Hurts. You can look it up online. It's a great book to read. Really, really helpful. And so that really shows, I think, to me, what we're dealing with here as we talk about this topic. Relationship with God is primary, but then we've got our relationship with ourself. You know, are we feeling shame? Are we feeling shame about ourselves? You know, shame makes us do crazy things. What about our relationship with others and the relationship with the rest of creation? Now, without fixing those relationships, whilst those relationships are marred, they're going to flow into those systems that we see there. We've got our economic system. So our relationships have been broken at the fall, and without fixing them, we have unjust economic systems that are designed to favour those in power, political systems which are often unjust, social systems which deny God and exalt humans, and even religious systems, legalistic religious systems, which are works-based. And so those systems are where we often look for salvation as a society. We think, oh, if we can just fix the economic system, then we'll make everything okay. Then we'll be truly human, if you want to use the language that we're talking about today. Oh, if we just fix the political system, if we just vote the correct political party in, then things will be a whole stack better. Or, oh, you know what? We're not doing church right. If we just change things around a bit or get this latest revelation, then things are going to change. And often that can be a bit legalistic. And so we're trying to put the cart before the horse. None of those things are going to work. No. We've got to fix those relationships. Now, if I just say to you, you've got to go and fix your relationships, away you go. I'm just getting another religious kind of system spirit in, aren't I? Go and do it. Go and fix your relationships. But is there a deeper reality here? Well, I would argue there's a deeper reality where in Christ, those relationships have been fixed. They've been fixed at the cross. They've been reconciled. On one level, we're invited to become as a person and as a community and as a world who we already are in Christ. There's been an inauguration of Christ as King at the cross and the resurrection. And so everything is ready for us to step into, to appropriate what Christ has already done for us, what God has done for us in Christ. And that's redemption. And that's great news. That's great news. Because that verse that we read before, that says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, goes on to say, and then all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Jesus is the true human. And as 100% true human and 100% God, he has reconnected us to the Father. That's of primary importance. And when we trust in him and our relationship with God the Father is restored, then we're connected to each other and given the ministry of reconciliation, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5. And not only that, but we're freed from shame and our relationship with ourselves can be restored. We see ourselves as a child of God, as righteous in him, not because of anything that we have or haven't done, but because of what Christ has done. He's lived a perfect life on our behalf. He's died as a perfect atoning sacrifice for our sins, and he's been risen from the dead, defeating death, decay, and restoring all relationships. And we're invited as the church and as humanity to step into that and experience the reconnection of those relationships. Once we do that, that flows into shalom. Brian, you love that term, shalom, right? We're heading towards that day when Christ is going to return. He's going to make all things right. That shalom, that peace, which doesn't mean just an inner peace for us, but means a restoration of all things, the whole creation. It's do a bit of a word study on shalom if you haven't already. It's not just this kind of inner peace individually. It's peace in relationships, basically. All of those relationships are restored. We live with the end in mind. Now, I have been doing some exercise, and getting a bit fitter, losing some weight. And when I'm out there running, I've got this end goal in mind. I won't tell you what it is, but I've got an end goal in mind. And all those personal trainers and life coaches, they'll always say to you, have a vision, start with the end goal in mind. Now, the problem for me is I get carried away with that and come up with these outlandish sort of goals, which I'll never achieve. But for God, He's given us a vision, which is as true as His word, that He's going to restore all things. You know, the picture in Revelation is of the new heavens and the new earth and everything in perfect harmony. That's our shalom. And so we go in confidence, having been given the ministry of reconciliation, having our own relationship with God restored, having our own relationship with ourself more understood, then connecting with others, and then connecting with the environment and treating the environment, God's good creation, with respect, serving the environment so that it then serves us. And that's as we're becoming truly human. Now, in Christ, we're righteous, and then we become who we already are. That's sanctification. We become who He has already created us to be. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. And that flows on to the systems that we saw before. But if we put the cart before the horse, we get into trouble because we just end up doing the same sort of things that we've been doing. So what does this look like for us? What does this look like for us becoming who we already are in Christ? Completely forgiven, clothed in His righteousness, ready to reconcile with others, ready to learn what it means to treat the creation with respect and have it serve us. Well, here's a good example from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now, all of those were present, by the way, because you had and I had a broken relationship with God. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. The next slide there. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. We've become truly human, and then sanctification, we become who we already are. We grow in that. And this next bit is one that I'd like to sort of just focus on a little bit more as we come towards the end of the message and the thinking today. Because this, I think, really gives us a good picture of how we get connected. Why is it that, you know, I've been reading articles over the last couple of weeks of people in war zones on each side of the, you know, civil war zones, each side of the dispute, who are Christians coming together and praying. What is it that connects them? What is it that means they're able to reconcile, where they're one in Christ? Because, verse 11, here there is neither Jew or Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. We're all connected in Christ. We're truly human in community. Now, because I have been working in the homelessness community, I'm also interested to see how people connect with those on the outer. What difference does following Jesus make as we become truly human? How do we recognize and live out this connection with others? Now, we know that this is a work in progress, and God is bringing us, as I said before, to a perfect shalom. But I'm always looking for signs of this. And I saw this interesting video the other day, which I thought was worth looking at. And it concerns an Australian businessman called Tim Guest. I don't know if you've heard of him, but he's been on the show Filthy Rich and Homeless. And I'm interested in his progression. I don't know exactly where he's at with faith and what God's doing in his life, but I can see something of a progression from being what I think I would describe as less human to more human as he has connected and as God in His grace and sovereignty is moving things towards that shalom. So I'm going to show you two clips. This first one just gives you a bit of an introduction to Tim Guest. And again, this is from the show Filthy Rich and Homeless, if you get a chance to check it out. So I'll just try and click on it, Kathy, and we'll see if it starts.
Self-made Perth businessman Tim Guest was able to financially retire in his late 20s with millions in the bank.
I've continued to acquire assets and build businesses and buy houses and, you know, other forms of investments. My current net worth is probably somewhere in the realm of around about $7 to $8 million net.
With money not an issue, life's an adventure.
I get to drive to work in my $220,000 car. I've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. I've spent a couple of days up in the mountains of Rwanda, hanging out with gorillas, raced Ferraris on private racetracks in Mexico. You know, I'm trying to experience as much of life as I possibly can.
But when it comes to homeless people, Tim admits he's scared and disinterested.
If I haven't got any change and they ask me for change, I don't know what's going to come next. I don't know whether they're going to be upset, whether they're going to be violent. You know, if I'm walking through the city, I could walk past them like they don't even exist. If I'm honest, I'd probably rather not even think about it.
So I'm intrigued by his statement there. I'm trying to experience as much life as possible. And the examples that he gave there were all interesting, weren't they? Another way of saying it would be I'm trying to be as truly human as possible. Maybe. What happens next is he goes and he lives on the streets as a rough sleeper for 10 days. And then this next clip is his response, his change in perspective once he's had that experience. So you can go and watch the whole thing. But I just thought this was particularly powerful. Now, obviously, perhaps his motivation is I want to experience as much of life and collect experiences as I can, but I think he has a bit of a change, a bit of a move from being less human to more human. So I see what you think.
Through the city, I could walk past them like they don't even exist. If I'm honest, I'd probably rather not even think about it. Oh, man, I was surprised how unbelievably moved I was and connected to some of the people I just did not expect. I'm just really impacted by, you know, what some people have had to deal with, and you know the resilience and strength that they have had to make it that far.
Now again, I don't know where Tim's at with his faith, whether he has a faith or not, but there's a movement there, isn't there? In terms of those relationships, if God's shalom is a restoration of that relationship with Him, first and foremost, a relationship with ourselves, a relationship with others and the whole of creation, then I think He's been moved in that connection with others. He's realized that He's connected to those people that before He said, you know what, I'd rather not even think about them. And I think the example of Him walking along with the sunglasses versus the example of him being fairly authentic and almost a little bit broken shows a stark contrast between, or gets us thinking at the very least about what it means to be truly human. Now, at this point, I'm going to invite my mate Jesse up because he's going to share for 2 or 3 minutes just about what that's been like for Jesse, because I've been really excited by the program that Jesse's involved in, the Urban Learning Community, because now, this is, I have to say, an unofficial Baptist Care SA program, because one Saturday, but this was exciting because it wasn't something that I drove at all. One Saturday, I get this message from probably Dave, I reckon, with a picture of Jesse and Dave and Luke doing something. And I'll let you take it from here and just tell us a little bit what that's meant in terms of you feeling God's presence and joy and fulfillment in that.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned this barbecue other times to the church. It kind of came from my roommate Luke. He was thinking, you know, on a Saturday morning, I'd like to drag the barbecue out to Whitmore Square and kind of serve just eggs and bacon, serve a breakfast out to people. And part of the heart behind that is not just to brighten people's mornings by giving them kind of a, you know, nice free brekkie, but also to really build relationships, build community, like kind of that philosophy that Craig's talking about. That's the side of this barbecue that I think is really exciting. The provision of food by all these different organizations is one thing. I think it's really important. but also to have relationships, to have friends, to have people you talk to and can vent to and can also provide guidance and feedback to. A personal experience of mine that I think really sums up why I found the barbecue so great is I was walking along with my bike because I got a flat tire, so I had to walk home. And I'm kind of like, oh, this isn't so great. And I see this guy kind of with his trolley in the bushes, and I kind of like, I nod to him as I'm walking along, and then I walk a bit more. I had my music in. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that was Josh. And I thought, I'll just go back and check. Like, I think that was Josh. So I turned around and I knew him from the barbecue, and we sat down for a little bit, and he told me like he'd just gone and seen his kids, and you know, he was having a good time. I was like, what was the highlight of your week? And he kind of shared with me, and I said like, oh, this is what's going on with me. And just to have that shift from before the barbecue, I would have just walked past and I would have kind of been like, ooh, I don't know, this guy, he's in the, like, I'm a bit worried about that, you know, drugs or something, I don't know, kind of like that millionaire was talking about. Like, I wouldn't have wanted to engage at all. But now I know him a little bit, I've had a couple of these conversations, there's a bit more of this relationship there, and it's challenged a lot of my preconceived notions about things. One of them being that this trolley that he's got, I think I always used to see that as, oh, people are a bit lazy, they just chuck all their stuff in a trolley. But now I'm getting more exposure to it. It's quite difficult to have all of your belongings in a trolley. You can't really leave it anywhere because then it could all get stolen. So it's a real logistical nightmare that you have to put a lot of thought into. And I think I'd really seen it as a lazy thing rather than as a, like, quite a difficult thing to manage. So, yeah, I think the barbecue is going quite well in that community side of things. I'm really happy that, like, Luke had this vision and that it's kind of come from Craig's view on relationships. And if anyone wants to come out there on a Saturday morning, Whitmore Square, 9 to 11, you'd be more than welcome.
Excellent. Well done, Jesse. Thank you. Absolutely. And... and that's when we know that God is transforming lives. When people that perhaps we wouldn't naturally connect with, we're building these deep connections with them. We're building these deep connections with them. But I must stress, for me, primary relationship that we need to make sure that we've received and trusted in is restoring that relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I think that comes first. Then understanding who we are, and then relating to others, and then also serving and stewarding and having the environment serve us. So just before I pray and just invite whoever to come up and close things with the last song, I want you to have a look at that diagram from the book When Helping Hurts, and think to yourself, what's God inviting you into today to grow in? Because this is a journey for all of us. Is it that you think, you know what, I don't actually have a relationship with God, I want to see that relationship restored? Or is it, you know what, I want to have a more of a biblical view of who I am in Christ for myself. You know, righteous in Him, loved by God, He's a Father to me. Is it your relationship with others? You're ready now to say, you know what, I really want to see what it means to connect with wider humanity. Maybe some people that I wouldn't have wanted to connect with in myself, in my own thinking. Or is it, you know what, the rest of creation? You know what, I've had this idea that, you know, at the end of time we're going to float off to heaven and, you know, earth is going to be destroyed. Whereas, you know what, I'm starting to realize that God's going to recreate, He's going to restore this new heavens and this new earth. And so how I treat the environment is actually an act of worship to Him. Is that something that you think, you know what, I want to learn a bit more about that? So maybe pick one, or at the most two, have a chat to the person next to you. What's the area that you think you might want to ask God to help you with this week and beyond, just to explore some more. So I just invite you to do that, and then I'll pray.
You were talking about environment and creation before. I was thinking, oh, that's why I showed you that diagram, because I thought you preached my sermon to me before I preached it, right?
Well, I think you really need to be in more than anything.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's about His provision. It's doesn't step outside of him to do things his way.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to be in step with him. So all this comes back into the oneness of the world. And he invites you to take those first few steps, and then, like a good shepherd, will pick up his lamb and carry them to where they need to be. And he will provide them the necessity of himself to be the introduction into a lost soul, so to speak, or to them.
Yeah, that's quite really cool.
It's got nothing but for ourselves, but everything of itself. So really, we bring it into something that's for the master, for the diagram is being
explained. Yeah. Yeah, and that's and invites us into it as well, like you said.
He is the operative in this sense.
That's good. Good stuff, Brian. Good question, man.
Okay, so the book When Helping Hurts is by Steve Corbett and Brian Fickett, by the way, if you want to check that out. Just before I close the sermon part in, or the message part in prayer, I'd just like to invite you to, if you're comfortable, either sit in silence or pray for each other based on what you've just shared. Again, that's very invitational. Some people you know, might want to sit in silence. Other people comfortable praying out loud. I'll leave that to you to decide on your table. But I just invite you to do that just for the next few moments, and then I'll close in prayer. Thank you. Just a couple more moments and then we'll pray together. All right. Shall we join together? And if you'd like to continue praying with each other afterwards, that's obviously fantastic. So thanks again for having me share together. Thanks, Dan, for inviting me and talking about what it means to be truly human, people with a restored relationship with God, ourselves, others, and the rest of creation, and becoming who we already are, becoming who we're designed to be, heading towards that vision of shalom that God has for us, that one day he's going to renew all things. And that's exciting. And we get to be part of that. We get to be part of that. Not something we have to stress about or try to bring about, but as we walk in his spirit, he will include us in that restoration of all things. So let's pray and thank and praise God for that. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you've created a good world, but you haven't created us to be alone. You've created community. You've created the covenant of marriage where a man and a woman come together as one flesh. You've created community for all people, whether they're single or married, and that's the church, and we thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that you've included us in your gracious mission of restoring all things, of recreating a new heavens and a new earth. And I pray that, Lord, we would see that at the core that's relationships, a relationship with you, a relationship with ourselves that's true and correct, a relationship with others, and of course, treating the environment with respect as your good creation. So Lord God, I pray that you would grow us in those areas, that we would be humble in those areas perhaps that in the past we haven't been aware of or maybe just discarded. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your opportunities. And Lord, we're just so grateful for you. And Lord, most of all, we're grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that he is for us. And we're all together in him as well. And we praise and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you.